Come ye sick, ye poor and needy, weak and wounded by the fall. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. I will arise, I will go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. Come ye thirsty, come and welcome. God's free bounty glorify. True belief and true repentance, every grace that brings you nigh. I will arise, I will go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. Come ye weary, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. If you tarry to your better, you will never come at all. I will arise, I will go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. Oh, there are 10,000 charms.
All right, wonderful. Thank you, Brother Shaddix, for the song this morning. And I may be a little bit hot, sound room, so you may have to tone me down. I promise you, I don't need much of a microphone. You know, some people say, well, you got a big mouth, and that is very true. I also have a very loud voice, so they'll back me out. So if I see you holding your hands over your ears, I'll do mine so they'll get the signal. But on behalf of Trinity Baptist Church, we want to welcome you. This is a special day for us. This is like a Christian high day for our church. You know, you got high days like last Sunday is a Christian high day. You know, Easter Sunday. And boy, we had a great time last week and saw a bunch of people come to the Lord and join the church and just had a great time. Well, this is another high day for us and call Friend Day. We're happy that you're here and we hope that God will bless you and meet your need this morning. And God sent you here for a reason. Now, if God sent us here for a reason, obviously He wants to talk to us. He wants to say something to us. So here's what I need you to do. I need you while the preaching's going on to remain seated unless you have an emergency. And then what I want you to do is I want you to open your spirit up and just ask God, all right, talk to me, Lord. What do you want from me? What do you want me to do for you? Open your spirit, and I promise you, you'll hear a still small voice here in just a moment that'll give you some instruction about why you're here and what you need to do this morning. Take your Bible, if you would, Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. I want to read a portion of Scripture. I'll not have time this morning to read the entire portion, but I do want to read some Scripture out of Exodus chapter 12. Now, while you're turning there, I'll have you stand in just a moment. Let me just bring you up to speed on where we are in the Scripture. The nation of Israel now has been in captivity under Egyptian bondage now for about 400 years. And God has sent a man by the name of Moses to deliver his people out of bondage. Well, Moses told the Lord, as you remember the incident with the burning bush, he said, "Lord, I can't do this." And by the way, he's right. You can do nothing without God. He says that without him, it is all of it's impossible, folks. And so Moses said, "I can't do this, Lord, by myself." And God says, "You don't have to worry about it." He said, "You just go. All I need is your mouth. All I need is you to be willing to for me to use you." He said, "I'll take care of the rest." You know, that's all God wants from you and I. He just wants you to submit. He just wants you to just be used of him. Listen, he's already done all the rest. And he'll take care of all the rest if we'll be submissive. Well, Moses goes to Egypt, and there's, you know, all the various plagues and stuff that came on the country and the nation there. Well, one last plague, God said that he was going to bring on Egypt at that time. And he told Moses and gave Moses some instruction about what that plague would be. And that's where I want to pick up our reading this morning in Exodus chapter 12 and begin reading with me in verse number 1. If you'll stand one last time, stretch your legs, and you'll be sitting for just a little bit. Stretch your legs one last time. Exodus chapter 12. Follow along silently as I read aloud, beginning in Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. The scripture reads, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house." Now I want you to skip over to verse number 5. He said, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it," that's the lamb, "in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it." Jump down to verse 12. God said, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are." Now notice this. He says, "And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Now, I want you to look in verse number 13 as our text verse this morning. I want you to notice a couple of words. The first word I want you to notice in verse 13, he says, "and the blood." The blood. And then if you'll notice in verse 13, he used the word token. He said it's the blood that will be a token. He said it will be the blood that will be the indicator. That God says, when I visit you, when I see the blood, that and only that will be the reason I will pass over you. Now folks, listen to me. God has already done all the work necessary. And may I remind you that he is coming again. And every man in this and woman and child in this building has an appointment with God. And it will be an appointment that you cannot cancel. It will be an appointment that you will keep and I will keep with him one day. And I want to take verse 13 and use that verse to preach to you this morning on this subject, a token, a sign, an indicator, a token of blood. Now, Father, would you bless us now this morning? And we're grateful that we have the privilege to be in church. Thank you, Lord, that we get to come and serve in a free country where our doors can be open to anyone and they can come and have a great worship experience with God. And Lord, I pray that you'd meet with us this morning in such a special way that when we leave today that we can say, God has met with us in this building, in this place today. And we'll give you the glory for the outcome now, this Lord, for we ask it all in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen, amen. You can be seated. It's a proven fact that the life of a human being is contained in the blood. Now, I'm not real smart. I'm not a doctor or a nurse, but I did do a little study on the blood, and it is the essence of life within us. Listen, no blood, no life. And as the billboard says, except it don't say got blood, but got blood, got life. And I want to say to you this morning that blood is just more. It's more than just a red fluid that runs through our veins this morning. You see, within blood are cells and plasma and platelets and oxygen, nutrients, listen to me, that are essential for life. You say, oh, preacher, they're not essential. All right, go without blood and see how long you live. You can't. It's essential for life. You see, in our text verse this morning, God relays to us the last miracle that He would perform before delivering the people of Israel from bondage. They had been in bondage, slaves, for over 400 years. God had heard the cry of the people. And God was about to provide a way of freedom for the children of Israel. Now, here was the simple instructions. God says, here's what I'm going to do. I've got one last time I'm going to pass over. He says, I'm going to move through the land of Egypt this night. And He said, here's the instructions I have for you. He said, I want you to slay a lamb of the first year, a male unblemished, without spot, the scripture says. He says, no deformities, no blemishes. He said, you take that lamb and you slay that lamb at the specific time that I tell you to slay it. He says, then I want you to take the blood of the lamb and strike the doorposts and the lintel of your door. He says, I want you to take it and I want you to apply it exactly the way and the place that I told you to apply it. Now listen very carefully. He says, when you do this and you shut the door, nobody goes outside. Nobody goes out until I say you can go out. God said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pass through the land. And listen very carefully. He said, I'm not looking for just anything. He said, when I pass through the land, I'm looking for one thing, and I'm looking for one thing only. And He says, that's the blood that's been applied. He said, when I pass through, that's what I'm going to be looking for. And may I say to you today, listen to me and you listen to me well, when God Almighty passes over your life one day and you face eternity, He's looking for one thing. He's looking for the blood. He's looking for that token in your life. It will either be there or it will not be there. He says, but I will pass through the land looking for that token of blood. The amazing thing that God even used the word here, token. He said it's something. That token, that blood is an indicator. That blood is a sign. He says, and when I pass over, that's what I'm looking for. You see, the application of the lamb's blood that night was literally an exercise of Israel's faith to the Lord. Now let me say something to you this morning. That blood was a sign. It was a token that they believed His word and that they trusted Him, that He meant what He promised. Because the instruction was, I'm passing through the land, and any door without the blood mark, the destroyer will visit their home, and the firstborn will die. Now listen carefully. He said, it will happen. And when God passed through the land and saw the blood, He saw their faith, He saw their trust in His word, and He saw their faith in His plan of redemption. Now stop and let me say something here. God had already given the instructions of how this is all going to go down. Now the thing about it is, I'm sure there were some people like us today that decided, you know what, that's a silly plan. That plan doesn't even make sense. Kill a lamb, put the blood on the post. What's up with that? I'm not going to do that. And they died that night. You see, there are probably a bunch of people here that think, you know what? That silly plan of Jesus dying on the cross, that silly thing, that story about He died on the cross, went to a grave 3 days and three nights, rose again, that's just a fairy tale in a fairy tale book. Let me tell you something. You can believe that, but He's still passing by one day. And you can believe whatever you want to. But let me tell you something, there's a God in heaven that's already given us the instructions of what we're supposed to do. He's already told us how to go about it and how to avoid the destroyer and death visiting your home. You see, this picture of the Passover of God clearly illustrates to us today that God and what God has done for mankind in the person of Jesus Christ. May I remind you that that Passover lamb that was slain that day was nothing more than a clear picture of Jesus Christ and His sacrificial death that He would apply for you and for me one day. It was just a picture. Listen, the scripture is very plain that it's not the blood of bulls and goats is not going to save anybody. It was nothing more than a picture because, listen to me, God is going to pass over your life one day. That Passover lamb that we're reading about here is a clear picture of Jesus Christ. May I remind you that in John chapter 1, verse number 21, when Jesus came on the scene and He came to this river Jordan to be baptized by John the Baptist, the first thing John the Baptist said when he saw Him, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Hey, he recognized it was the Lamb, right? He recognized who Jesus was and that He was here to save the world. Guess who that is? That's us. There's not a person in this room exempt from the shed blood of Jesus. He came and died for you. Doesn't matter what type of lifestyle, doesn't matter what type of family background you have, doesn't matter what country you were born in, He came and died for you, for the whole world. And John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." You see, that shed blood of that lamb, which represented Jesus Christ, was without blemish. Jesus was without sin. And there it was necessary for Jesus. It was necessary for that for have a perfect, sinless sacrifice. And it could only be one person because there's only been one that ever walked the face of the earth. And that was the Son of God, Jesus Christ, Messiah, Savior. He was the only one that could meet the criteria and was necessary for salvation. Or it was eternal death. It was eternal death. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, "And without shedding of blood is no remission." That word remission is there is no release. There is no discharge. He says, unless the blood's applied, there is no discharge from death. You and I will face it for all eternity. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse number 11, listen to this. The scripture says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." And He says, "I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls." It is the blood that maketh an atonement for your soul. That word atonement means an agreement. That means a satisfactory agreement that God has made. And listen, when He saw the blood of Jesus Christ, He was satisfied. And it was applied for you and for me. That sacrifice was for you and for me. And may I say to you also that not only did that sacrificial lamb picture Jesus, not only was it necessary for the blood of the Lamb to be slain before the foundation of the world, that was Jesus Christ, for the sins of the world. But may I remind you that when Jesus died, He finished the job. He finished the job. May I say to you today that when Jesus cried out on that cross in John chapter 19 and verse number 30, when He said, "It is finished," that's exactly what He meant. It was all done. It was finished. He finished the job. I want to say to you this morning that, listen, the proper blood was now available. There was a token now available for you and I to apply to our doorpost. Before there was not, but now there was. The token was now obtainable. You see, God was now satisfied with the sacrifice. You say, what was so important about that little lamb? Well, the lamb itself, there wasn't nothing really important about it other than it was a picture of Jesus. What was important was the blood. What was important was the applying of that blood exactly like God told them to. And I want to say to you that when Jesus Christ died over 2,000 years ago, He finished the work. And I'm here to tell you, He didn't make a down payment, nor did He make a deposit on your salvation. Listen, He paid it all. And listen, there is no installments that still have to be made on your behalf or mine. It's finished. It's finished. Hey, listen to me. Either Jesus paid it all or He didn't pay it at all. He either paid it all or He did not pay it at all. And when He cried, "It's finished," He meant what He said and said what He meant. He said, "All right, preacher, why salvation by the blood?" Well, because in His blood is not just life, but eternal life. You say, well, how can we prove that from the Bible? Well, hang on just a minute. Let me give you a verse real quick. John chapter 14, verse number 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth. Now listen to me. And the life. No man cometh unto the Father, he said, but by me. Why? Because he's the only sacrifice that God allowed. He was the only sacrifice that satisfied the wrath of God. And he was the only sacrifice ordained of God for you and for me. That's why. Now, we've got to get a hold of that token of blood. It's got to be applied. And may I say to you today that without the application or a token of blood applied to our soul and our doorpost, according to the Scripture, without it, I'm dead to God. I'm dead to God. Romans chapter 5, verse number 12. Listen carefully. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You know who that? You know what that word "all" means? I'm gonna tell you, because I know a little bit of Greek and Hebrew, so I'm gonna tell you what that "all" means in Greek. It means all. That's what it means. It means everyone excluding no one. So when sin entered into the world, death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. That's us. Now, you know what? Now that creates a problem, doesn't it? Now that means we got a problem. We got a sin problem. That means that something's got to happen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, Paul told the church at Ephesus, he says that because they had no blood applied to their doorpost, he said those that had no blood applied to their soul were dead in trespasses and sins. You see, we need a token of blood. And that token has been provided, listen to me, at God's expense. You had nothing to do with it. God had everything to do with it. Now, you say, oh boy, we in trouble now, preacher. Yeah, we are. But you know what? The people of God had no hope either. God had to provide it all. God had to make a way for them. And so with that said this morning, let me give you a few things to think about this morning. I think it's very important that we look at some things concerning our story this morning. May I say to you from our story this morning, the first thing I want you to see is the first thing that the people of God and Israel had to see. First of all, they had to realize death's coming. Wait a minute, that didn't go real well. I said they had to realize death's coming. You do know that, right? Everybody realize you're going to die? You say, oh, preacher, not me. I'm the exception to the rule. Well, I tell you one thing. Take a little trip with me down here to Moore Memorial Gardens at the thousands and thousands of graves out there. I wonder if some of them thought they weren't going to die either. Yeah, you're going to die. You're going to die just like I am. And the thing about it is when we face that day, we've got to understand we're going to face God. And he's looking for one thing applied to the doorpost of your soul. He's looking for the blood. He's not looking for your pocketbook. Hey, when he stand before God at death, he's going to say, open your wallet. See how much you got in there. I don't see any money, but I sure see a lot of credit card debt. Oh, shouldn't have said that, should I? Hey, what I'm saying is he's not looking for your pocketbook. He's not looking for how much you got stored away in the bank. He's not looking for what possessions you have. He said, I'm looking for one thing. Where's the token of blood? Where's the blood? Where's the blood? May I say to you this morning, dear folks, that Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says this, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You say, but I'm going to get a second chance after death. Not according to the Bible, you're not. It says you're appointed unto men, it's appointed unto men once to die. You know, I've done a lot of funerals in my time. I've been to a lot of funerals in my time. But you know, I've never had one person get up out of that casket, not one time. Not once. And if he did, I wouldn't be there. Right? Somebody else is going to have to finish it because something bad wrong. Somebody made a huge mistake. We've got to realize death is coming. The people of God, listen carefully. The people of God were given instruction and said, God said, death's coming. It's coming. They were forewarned. Wait a minute, now listen to me. They were not only forewarned by God, they were forewarned by the preacher. Because their preacher at that time was Moses. And not only did God forewarn them, the preacher forewarned them. So they had two warnings. One from God, one from the man of God. Now, whose fault was it if they didn't apply the blood? Was it God's? Was it the preacher's? No. Not at all. They had been forewarned that death was coming. You see, Israel, listen to me, they knew when. We don't know when. They knew at midnight death was coming. See, the difference between you and I is we know death is coming, we just don't know when. They knew when death was coming and they knew when. But you and I do not know when. You see, death is no respecter of persons. I remember my senior year in high school, I played several different sports in high school, and on our high school baseball team, I played with two good friends of mine. One's name was Eddie Tollison. The other young man was David Gerald. Both of these guys, we played. We lived close to each other. We played. We practiced. We spent a lot of time, played summer ball together. Our senior year, springtime, about this time, it was about maybe 3 or 4 weeks, maybe a month before graduation. My two buddies had stayed out probably a little bit later than they should have. It was pouring down rain. We lived at kind of somewhat in the country, not far back in the country, but somewhat in the country, outside of Jackson, Mississippi. My two buddies got in their car and decided there's a straightway, and this is where all the kids went on Friday night to race. And don't look like you don't know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Huh? It's where we all went out to race. Y'all didn't do that? Okay, I guess I'm the only heathen in here then. So, but that's where we went out to race. And they'd like to go out there, and they got out there and thought, oh boy, I wonder how fast we can get this car going. They got out on that straightaway, pouring down rain. Got that car up to about 100 miles an hour. And it began to hydroplane. That car left the road. Now, if it had left the road and just gone into a ditch, it would have been fine. The problem is it left the road, rolled, and rolled down into a creek. Now, the young man driving, Eddie Tollison's driving, was ejected from the car. The other young man was knocked unconscious. The car flipped over upside down, 17 years old, went out into eternity, 4 weeks before graduation. You see, the thing about it is, you think for 1 second when those boys were looking down that straightaway, pouring down rain, let's see how fast we can get this. You think for 1 second it even crossed their mind that one of them was going to die? Never crossed their mind. And may I say to you, the unfortunate thing for most of us, it never crosses ours either. It never crosses our mind. I remember some years ago, family in our church lived right around the corner from us. Little boy, 5 years old, my wife, I was out making some visits, and this is probably, my goodness, probably 15, 18 years ago, probably something like that. My wife got a call, and this lady said, come over, my little boy's been hit by a car. My wife got in the car and went around the corner, and sure enough, there, in a neighborhood street, little five-year-old boy had been run over. My wife knew instantly when she saw the little boy that he was dead. You see, I don't understand, why does God take 17-year-olds? Why is a five-year-old little boy that may have had a fruitful life and looking forward to things, why does God allow those types of things? I don't know. I don't have the answers. But you listen to me. I have one answer. I know death is coming. I know that. I just don't know when. You think for 1 second those dear folks in Alabama had any idea that an F5 tornado was going to suck their house right off the foundation? Never had any idea. Never had any clue. Never had a clue that something like that was going to happen. But listen to me, it did. And you know what? Some of us this morning, we don't think it can happen to us. And the only reason it was, listen, the only reason that it wasn't here was by the grace of God. The only reason that your house didn't get destroyed is for some reason by the grace of God. I'm just here to tell you this morning that the people of God realized that death was coming. I don't know when it's coming, but I know it's coming. I don't know when he's going to find me, but I know this, I can try to play hide and seek from death all I want, but you know what? He knows all my hiding places. He's going to find you. He's going to find you. And he's going to find you one day. And when he finds you, there are no respecter of persons. So I wanted to say, first of all, that the people of God here, first of all, they realize something that you and I need to realize. Death's coming. It's coming. It's coming. I'm nearly 50 years old. You know what? Once you get around this age, you kind of start thinking about that kind of stuff. You don't? Yeah, you'll start thinking about it. But he is coming. May I say to you, number two, I noticed, number two, that not only did they realize death was coming, I also noticed from this passage of Scripture that there were instructions for salvation that had been given, and they were to be followed exactly. Did you hear me? I said there was instructions that were given of how to be saved from the destroyer, and you had to follow them exactly. He didn't say, I'm going to leave it up to your discretion. By the way, unfortunately, you know what? There's way too many people today just leaving salvation up to our discretion. Let me tell you something. God has already given us a very clear and effective way and instructions of what we're supposed to do. And listen to me this morning, dear folks. We're going to have to follow them exactly if we're going to be saved. Did you hear me? I said we're going to have to follow them exactly. You said, but listen, no buts. God gave the instructions. He said it's real simple. Okay? It's not hard to understand. It's very, very simple. He said, here's what you have to do. He said, because I am coming, death is coming, I will pass over. He said, I'm looking for one thing, looking for the blood. I'm looking for that token of blood. Now, think about this if you would. Israel had to realize they could not save themselves. What were they going to do? They'd been in bondage 400 years. You'd think, by the way, if they could have saved themselves, they'd already done it, right? They couldn't. It wasn't until God intervened that deliverance came. And God says, now here's what I'm going to do. I am going to deliver you, but this is the only way you'll be delivered. The only way that your firstborn will be delivered is to go and follow the instructions exactly as I've given them. You see, they had to make a confession. They had to confess the fact that without God, and without some instructions, and without God's intervention, they had no hope. By the way, if we could save ourselves from death, don't you think we'd already figured out some way to do it? And by the way, if you ever find a doctor that ever figures out how to stop death from coming, mark him down. He's going to be the most popular man in the history of the world outside of Jesus Christ. But you know, the thing about it is we've got 6,000 years of human history. Anybody figured it out yet? You know why? Because there ain't no answer to it. Because you will die. Death is coming. And God says if you want to avoid death eternal without God, here's some instructions how to do it. Very simple. Very simple instructions. But first of all, they had to get something in their heart like we've got to get something in our heart. First of all, couldn't save themselves. If they could have, they'd already done it. They couldn't save themselves. Secondly, they had to confess the fact that they were lost. We're hopeless. If God doesn't intervene, we are hopeless. I want you to listen to this verse. The Scripture says in Romans chapter 3, verse number 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says, for all have sinned. Remember when I read to you a while ago in Romans chapter 5, verse number 12, it says, by one man sin entered the world, so death by sin, for death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. See, here's our problem. Remember I told you we had a little minor problem? The problem is sin. You say, preacher, I'm sitting here thinking, I can't ever remember ever doing anything really, really bad. Well, sin isn't doing something really, really bad. Okay? Sin is you and I were born with this disease. It didn't just come upon you the last 6 months. You were born with this. Just like I was born with this. So if I'm going to be delivered from this eternal disease, something's going to have to happen. You say, like what? Well, first of all, I need a blood transfusion. Amen? I need a blood transfusion. Because you know what I've got running in my vein? Sinful blood. And you know what that blood's going to do? It's going to condemn me. It's going to condemn me if I don't do something about it. So they had to realize that they were lost, had no hope. The scripture says, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now here's the thing. They also not only had to realize they were lost and hopeless, they also had to realize if we don't do this, there's big time penalty. Big time penalty. Now let me ask you parents something real quick. Those of you with children. Anybody here like me, you do anything to save the life of your kid? Yeah, of course you will. You understand God says, I'm coming through the land. The blood's not applied. Firstborn, go. Now the thing about it is you think there's a lot of mamas and daddies thought, man, get the lamb. Let's get with the program. Can you imagine little kids? What's going on, Dad? What's going on? Listen, don't worry about it. Dad's going to take care of it. Okay? Don't worry about it. I'm going to make sure that what the instructions that God gave us are followed exactly. Now you listen to me. Listen to me well, Mom and Dad. Do you know you have the Word of God here that gives some instruction exactly what salvation is? And do you know it is your responsibility and my responsibility to make sure that my children and your children understand how to be saved? Where did we get this idea? Well, I'm not going to really force anything on them, preacher. I'm just going to let them make their own choices. Well, let me say this to you. We're not consistent with that because you don't let them brush their teeth when they want to. What if they came to you and said, you know what? I think, Mom, I'm going to take a bath when I feel like it. You know, listen, what if they come to you and say, you know what? I'm really kind of tired of school. What? You're only three? Yeah, I'm kind of bored with it. I don't think I'm going back anymore. Now listen. We laugh at that, but you know what? You would not allow it. And may I say too, then why we allow our kids when it deals with their soul, folks? We're talking about their everlasting, eternal soul. Why are we not guiding them how to trust Christ? Hey, Dad said, I'll take care of it. And they slew the lamb, male, unblemished, applied the blood to the doorpost. You see, they understood that if they didn't abide by the instructions, there was a penalty. And may I say to you also, in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. And it's not just physical death, it's eternal spiritual death. Separation from God in a place called hell forever and ever and ever. Let me say something about that just a minute. A lot of people say, well, you know what? I just don't believe God would let anybody go to hell. God ain't letting anybody go to hell. We make our own choice. Hey, he's not there. God's not there looking for opportunities for people to die and go to hell. No, he's given the instructions. They're very simple. But may I say to you, if it's not applied and the token of blood is not applied, there is a penalty. There's a price to be paid. You say, well, I just don't see eye to eye. Well, let me say this to you. You know, there's a lot of places in Arlington I don't see eye to eye with the speed limit. You say, well, how do you know that? None of your business, but I'll tell you later. I don't see eye to eye with some of the speed limits. But may I say to you, it doesn't really matter whether I see eye to eye with the speed limit or not. The Arlington Police Department says, you know what? It doesn't really matter whether you agree with it or not. That's a speed limit. You weren't doing it. Here you go. Have a good day. Amen? See, there's a lot of things that we may not agree with, but it don't change the fact. You see, it doesn't change the fact that God said there's only one way and one way only. Jesus said, I am the way. You said, man, that's pretty narrow. That's exactly right. Because he said, narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. And few there be that go in thereat. It is a narrow way. Why? Because there's only one way. You see, I leave from here, from Dallas-Fort Worth. I can go to Oklahoma City. I can go a bunch of different ways. I go to Jackson, Mississippi, my hometown. You know what? I can get there a bunch of different ways. But if I'm going to see Jesus and I'm going to heaven, one way. It's a one-way street, my friend. It's one way. And the people of God had to understand there is a penalty. There was a penalty. And that penalty was death. That penalty that death was going to visit their home that night. But the plan was simple. Oh, by the way, do you know the plan was available to everybody? It was available to everybody. You know, when God gave the instructions of what they were supposed to do, he didn't say, now, listen, You know them people that kind of live on the other side of the, you know, on the other side of the hill over there? They've been, their family has been kind of giving me kind of tough time. So, you know what? I'm not really going to be really concerned about saving them, so I don't want the word to get to them. You know these people over here? These people over here, yeah, they have their family, they haven't been serving me. I know that they've spent 400 years in captivity, but you know what? They really haven't been serving. And by the way, they're part of some of the families that badmouth the preacher. Amen, preacher, isn't that good? Remember they badmouthed Moses? Said, you know what? Bless God. Preacher, you're the reason we're having to make all this, make the brick of our own, having to do all this extra labor. Said, you're the priest, you're the problem. They didn't think that when they walked out of Egypt, though, did they? I thought, man, you know what? Pretty smart. Now, listen to me. What I'm saying is the plan and the instruction was very simple, but it was available to everyone. But God commended his love toward us. In that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Guess who that us is? That's us. That's us. That's all of us. You say, but preacher, you don't understand what I've done. Don't care what you've done. God said he has supplied a token of blood, and all you've got to do is follow the instructions. He didn't go from person to person and tent to tent and say, no, not you. No, not you. He didn't go from house to house looking and finding out what they had in their house, what they were doing in their house. He said, here's the instruction. Anybody that does it, be saved. Anybody. Now, let me give you one last thing quickly this morning. That's this. Not only did they have to realize death was coming, not only did they have to follow the instructions exactly like they were given, but here's the third thing, and this was the most critical. The blood had to be applied willingly. Are you with me? The blood had to be applied willingly. Why would you slay the lamb? Why would you get the blood in a basin and a hyssop and everything is right there at your disposal to take care of it and not do it? Why would you go through all of that and not make the application? It's right there. It's right at your fingertips. See, the blood had to be applied willingly. The life of the firstborn depended on it. Listen, the information had already been supplied. The instructions had already been explained very clearly. There was no question about what they were to do. The information was given. It was supplied. Now listen carefully. You say, but surely, preacher, there's got to be something else involved here. Well, listen to what Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That goes right back to John 14, 6, where Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 12 says this. But this man, speaking of Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. You know why? Because it's done. It's finished. The work is done. Provision has now been made for salvation. Now, it's up to us. Now it's up to each of us individually of whether or not we're going to apply the blood willingly. You see, the application had to be done of their own free will. Now, folks, let me say something to you this morning. God sent you here not by mistake. He sent you here on purpose. And the reason that he sent some of you here this morning is because he said, I've already done everything. I'm going to tell that preacher to say this morning about the token of blood. He says, now I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning to make the application. Now it's up to you to apply it or not. Nobody's going to make you apply it. But what we are going to do is give you an opportunity to apply it. Because let me tell you something. God in heaven has already done it all. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. You see, God wants people saved bad. And the reason I know that, listen to this. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Listen now. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All should come to repentance. Let me tell you something. If my house was on fire and my family was in there, let me tell you something, my friend. I'm going in. And I'm going to get them out, every single one, at every expense, at every cost. May I say to you that God loves everyone. The Scripture says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how much He cares for you. That's how much He loves you. That's the reason He sent His only begotten Son to die for us. You say, all right, preacher, all right, I got it. Death's coming. I got to follow the instructions exactly like they were given. I understand that He didn't make a down payment. He didn't make a deposit. I understand that I've sinned against God. I understand there's a penalty. I understand that Jesus paid it. So I got it, preacher. I got it. Now what? Now comes the application. The application is this: for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the application. You say, well, preacher, doesn't it take faith? Doesn't it take a bunch of faith to be saved? Well, Jesus said to His disciples, He said, if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea. He said, it'll be done to you. That ain't a whole lot of faith, folks. But I've got some good news for you. He said, preacher, I just don't know if I have enough faith to be saved. Yeah, you do. Sure do. You know how I can prove it? How many of you ladies do the shopping in your home? Okay, we got three ladies to do the shopping. God bless you men for being such good, wonderful husbands. Man, I need y'all to teach. So I'm a terrible shopper. But we've got four ladies that do the shopping in their home. The other men do it, I guess, and go grocery shopping. How many of you ladies, when you go shopping, you go down here to Kroger or Tom Thumb or something, you go down the aisle and you're looking at the canned goods, how many of you take a can opener with you? Nobody? Nobody takes a can opener to the store with you? Okay, then let me ask you something. Then when you go down that aisle and you look up there and it's Del Monte says, hey, there's corn in this can, and all it's got is a label, how do you know it? It's sealed up. You know what you do? You just reach up and get it, put it in your bag. Never think twice about it, do you? Now, wait a minute now. Hang on. I don't understand something. You said you don't have enough faith to be saved, but you got enough faith in Del Monte, there's corn in that can? Come on now. Something's messed up. Yeah, you got faith. You know why? Because God installed faith in you the day you were conceived in your mother's womb. You know why? Because He knew that you were going to be confronted with a day like today. He knew that you were going to have to exercise faith, and either the blood was going to be applied or not. Now, I know what some of you ladies are going to do now. You're going to go get a can opener, and you're going to take it shopping with you. And just out of spite, you're going to open a can and see if it's really what's in there. All I'm saying to you is this, and I'm done. Death's coming. You're going to have to follow the instructions. Listen, and I want to just say this because we got people from all over here, and I want to say this just for everybody's sake. Salvation is not a Baptist way, a Presbyterian way, a Methodist way, a Catholic way, or whatever way. It's Jesus' way. Hey, that's what it is. Did He not say, I am the way? So the thing about it is, hey, listen, just because it says Baptist on the sign, it don't mean we have a corner on the market of salvation. All we're doing is just preaching Jesus' way. That's it. Hey, we got to follow the instructions exactly like they were given. And then you're going to have to do the application. The applying of the blood is going to be up to you and you alone. Would you make that application this morning? Would you bow your heads with me quickly, please? No one moving around. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. This is a very, very critical time in our service. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. I wonder how many this morning could say, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I've been born again. I've had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ, no question about it. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt if I died today, I'm going to heaven. You say, preacher, no question about it. I want you to slip your hand up and give me a testimony. You say, that's it. Give a witness. Hey, a child of God should be willing to lift that hand up. Don't even leave a crook in the elbow. Say, preacher, that's me. I know I'm a child of God. I've been born again. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, I ask you this morning that you would move in an incredible way at this time. There's many here that could not raise their hand. And I'm assuming then, Lord, that the token of blood has not been applied to the doorpost of their soul. And yet the instructions are very simple. Jesus is the way. He came into this world over 2,000 years ago and died for sinners and the lost like us. And that day, when you finished the complete and full work of redemption on the cross, it was all through and all done. And now you sit at the right hand of God, the ascended Savior, there making intercession for believers. So I pray this morning, Lord God, for those who could not raise their hand, that today would be the day they apply the blood, the wonderful, precious, saving, eternal blood of Jesus to their soul. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, I want to ask a question and address those who could not raise their hand. I wonder how many this morning say, preacher, I got to be honest, if I died today, I know death's coming, but if it happened today, I cannot honestly say that heaven's my home. Maybe you've thought about it. Maybe someone, maybe a relative has already talked to you about that, or maybe as a relative or a friend has confronted you from the Bible about your soul, and you say, preacher, I've just never done anything about it. And if I died today, I don't know what's going to happen to me, preacher. I need prayer. Now, be honest. This is church. And if we're going to be honest anywhere, folks, we've got to be honest in church. God sees our heart. God knows what's going on. Would you be honest today and say, preacher, would you pray for me? I cannot honestly say that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I need prayer. I want you to slip your hand up. No one's looking but me. Just slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. Say, preacher, that's me. God bless you. Just keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. All right? Keep it up. Say, preacher, that's me. About a half a dozen, 12. Okay? Anyone else? Just slip it up. Say, preacher, that's me. That's me. That's me. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now I want to keep this as private as I can with every head bowed and eyes closed. But those of you that slipped your hand up and say, preacher, I don't know for sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven. I wonder if you would honor me for just a moment. If you raised your hand, I want you to just raise your head and look up here at me. If you raised your hand, everybody else keep your head bowed. If you raised your hand and say, preacher, I don't know for sure if I died to go to heaven. And you say, preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. If you're looking at me, did you mean that? Did y'all mean that? Did you mean when you raised your hand, are you serious about applying the blood today to your soul? If you meant that this morning, and you say, preacher, I'm here. I'm ready to do business with God. I understand the truth. And listen, I need to know the Lord. If you meant that, you're looking at me right now, and you mean business, we have people, we have men and ladies that will deal with you and take the Bible. Listen, God sent you here for a reason today. Don't pass this opportunity up. Those of you that are looking at me right now, if you meant what you said, most of you shook your head and said, yes, preacher, I did. Then here's what I want you to do. If you mean business with God, and you say, preacher, listen, I need to apply the blood to my soul, and I need to claim that promise of eternal life. If you mean business with God right now, here's what I want you to do as a testimony before the Lord. I want you to stand up right where you are. Nobody's looking. Nobody looking. Just stand up. Stand up right where you are. Just stand up, and I will have a man come to a man, a lady come to a lady. Who's going to be the first? Say, preacher, that's me. That's me. I know that I need to be saved. I know to be saved. Would you just stand up? There's one. God bless you. Just stand up, and I'll have someone come to you and take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Who'll be first? Who's going to be next? Who'll be next? Say, preacher, that's me. Just stand up. We got people in the balcony that'll be glad to talk to you. All right? All right? How many are here this morning and say, preacher, I've already been saved. God bless you. Come right ahead. Come on. Come on. Come on. There's two. There's three. Who'll say, preacher, that's me. That's me. Just stand up right there. Don't be ashamed. Hey, this is church. This is church. This is important. We're talking about your soul. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? God loves you. He cares about your soul. All right? Maybe you're here this morning and say, preacher, I've already been saved, but I've never been baptized. And I know it's the right thing to do. Would you pray with me? I need to take care of that business for God. How many are like that? And you slip your hand up and say, preacher, that's me. That's me. I've already been saved, never been baptized. God bless you and you and you. Who else? Who else? Who in the balcony say, preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Join about the half a dozen. God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Say, preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized. Anybody else? Anybody else? Then here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation song. We're going to all stand together. And those probably dozen or so that raised their hand and said, "Preacher, I need to be saved. I don't know Jesus." At the invitation. If you couldn't stand just a moment ago, when we all stand, would you come forward? Would you make your way to the aisle today? We want you to be saved. God's waiting for you this morning. Now, Father, I ask you, please, please, this morning, there's business that needs to be taken care of in the hearts and souls of men and women. There's a battle raging in them today. And I pray, Lord God, that they would take that step forward, that today would be the day that they might apply the token of blood to their soul, that shed blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask you this morning to show yourself mighty, move in an incredible way. And we'll give you the glory and the praise for all that shall be accomplished today. For we ask it now this morning in the wonderful and holy and precious name of Jesus. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want us to stand to our feet. I'm going to ask the piano to begin to play and our musician to begin to sing. Listen, this is your opportunity. If you say, "Preacher, I was a little bit embarrassed to stand when you asked me, but I'm not embarrassed now." You come. You come. This is your opportunity. If you raise your hand, come ahead. Come ahead. We want you to be saved. We want you to be saved. This is your opportunity. Would you come? Don't pass it up. Death's coming. Death's coming. It may be today for some in this room. And you raise your hand and say, "Preacher, that's me. Would you come? Would you come? This is your opportunity. Come ahead. Come ahead. This is your opportunity this morning. Would you come? Would you come?
And steal the blood."
Sir, ma'am, if you raise your hand, would you come? Did you mean business for God? Please come on. Come on, we'd love to have you come and so that you know Christ today. Would you come?
From the highest star in heaven to the depths of...
We've already had some. He's going to sing through again. He's going to sing through again. Who else? Who else? Maybe there's a teenager. Maybe there's a young person. Would you come? Would you come? We love you. Listen, they love some of our members. Invite. They loved you enough to invite you to a service today. To be a... All right. Thank you, ladies. Ushers, we're going to go ahead. We've got a couple to be baptized here in just a moment. Jice Osby comes this morning. Having accepted Christ as Savior, is going to be following...